Well, theoretically, unless you can buy one at a tank show.
At a gun show?
No, a tank show. Out,
you know, where you learn how to draw, and the TA guy comes up to me, and he goes, "Want to see something?" And I'm like, "Okay, is it some sort of new kind of crayon or something?" And he pulls out a .38, he goes, "It's real." And I'm like, "All right."
Here's a pink, and an orange and a green and a blue.
I couldn't believe it, man. There were guns all over the place.
But people get used to it from the high school. I went into a high school once in Las Vegas. Yeah. I was looking to meet some teacher. I was working for a British newspaper. And I had to go through security, and there's guys with guns patrolling the corridor because it's so darn dangerous that kids in middle school are taking guns. Like, what is this country? This is Nevada high school.
Have you ever been to Israel? I mean, there are guys with guns all over the place that just have uniforms on.
Well, yeah. You know, you don't expect kids to be taking guns to school, do you?
No, but they get them, they just get them out of their dad's drawer. I mean, that's where most of
Well, there's been a tradition in this country, though, to be honest. There's been a tradition of teaching kids how to use guns. I mean, you know, the whole thing with, son, let me take you out back and show you how to... I mean, that's part, and that's part of what Americans hold dear. It's like the right to have big talk.
You know what? But there's a difference in that. I mean, taking your kid out back when you're in the, you know, Blue Ridge Mountains and taking him out back when he's off, you know, Queens Boulevard.
I just think when you have a gun, it's got some sort of karmic magnetism to it, that you could be asking for trouble, that a gun in the house is going to eventually cause trouble somehow.
Well, yeah. And there have been situations where people have, in fact, been charged. I think there was a situation in Newark a few months ago where someone actually had a gun, the kid ended up using it, and they charged the adult with having the gun in the house. It was illegal.
Well, you know, a lot of times, too, when the gun is in the house, you know, for protecting the people, you know, from protecting your family from bad people getting in, they don't kill bad people. 90% of the time, they shoot who's ever in the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just one of those weird mistakes, you know? It just went off, officer. I mean, granted, she was yelling, but, you know, I mean, it just...
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that people don't adhere to the rule, which is to keep the guns unloaded and the bullets in a separate place.
Yeah, but that's
if you had
why
to use
bother
it, it's completely, exactly. It's completely impractical, so... Anyway, we're going to Recovery Corner up next. Shot or not, I'm going to recover from laughing at my fact that somebody in my family was shot. And we want to hear your thoughts about Dick Cheney and the NRA here at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
You're driving home. Which route should you take? You're coming up to the exit. You have 10 seconds to decide. 9, 8, 7. Better tune into XM Satellite Radio with an entire channel devoted to 24-hour instant traffic and weather for your area so you can always get non-stop, in-depth traffic and weather. This year, you'll get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check out XM Satellite Radio at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Remember the last time you bit into a sweet, crunchy apple, grilled onions and peppers, or made a fresh salad? The Harvest of Hope Foundation reminds you that many fruits and vegetables are harvested by migrant farm workers. They and their families earn their living crisscrossing our country to work long hours in our nation's fields to bring to us our bountiful harvest of food. The Harvest of Hope Foundation is the nation's only private nonprofit foundation which raises funds exclusively to aid this most hardworking yet often invisible group of workers. We offer emergency aid to migrant families and financial assistance for education for their children. We need your donations to continue this important and unique charitable work. Check out our Harvest of Hope Foundation's website at harvestofhope.net or call toll-free 1-888-922-4673. That's harvestofhope.net or toll-free 1-888-922-4673.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one. It is.
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Unfiltered.
Have you ever been married?
Yeah. What? We won't go into that, but I know what my mother and father had they had to paint the couple on top of the cake black.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D, and Rachel Maddow.
They, like, black-faced the little doll?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, my God.
Get some brown crayons.
They're, like, they're flesh-colored.
Represent right.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
It is now about 15 before the hour, and I'm Mark Maron, along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America. Is that the wrong thing to say? Am I not supposed to say it's around?
It's just an interesting look. I mean, whoever said, you ask someone what's the time, do they ever say it's 15 before the hour?
It's getting close to quarter till. It's about quarter till. Hi, I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober today. As every day, I'm offering counsel to my temporary sponsor, George W. You know who you are. I need to talk to you, George, about your higher power. Okay? George, Colin Powell is hurting right now, and you need to reach out to him. He thought you were his friend, and he doesn't like the idea that he's had to lie for you over and over and over again. I mean, enabling hurts, George. That's why he talked to Woodward. Do you understand? Do you understand what's happening with your sobriety right now in relation to this Colin Powell friend of yours? All right, here's what I'm saying, okay? You need to review your conduct over the years, okay? Where have you been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Colin? Yes? Whom did you hurt? Colin, I believe you hurt. Did you unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Sound familiar, maybe in relation to Colin? Where were you at fault? Colin? What should you have done instead? Maybe listened to Colin? Huh? What do you think, George W.? I don't mean to be aggressive here, but if you're going to be Mr. Tough Love President, I'm going to be a little Tough Love sponsor. You understand? You got some work to do, my friend. I mean, anger passes, and let's not forget feelings aren't facts, all right? But friendship is supposed to last a lifetime, so you know, maybe you should just reach out. I'm sorry, I'm a little aggravated with you there, George W. And just remember, one day at a time, first things first, do the next right thing. God doesn't wake up and think he's you, and that's been Recovery Corner for today. I'm Mark, an alcoholic. Trickle it off.
Get it off your chest.
The closer.
You got to explain that to me one day about that God doesn't think he's you thing. I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's a phrase I heard at a secret gathering.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about self-centeredness. That, like, you know what I mean? There's something within the literature of a particular program that we're referring to that says, you know, if you think you have control over everything, if you're that self-centered, if you think you have the power to direct your life, you know, you're probably wrong.
Oh.
So the trick of that is God doesn't wake up and think, it's insinuating that you wake up and think you're God and you have control over everything in your life.
But you're probably not.
That's where it comes in. God doesn't wake up and think he's you.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're not sufficiently confused, you can call us and ask for clarification. We're going to go to callers. Here's our number, 1-866-303-AAR0. That's 1-866-303-2270. And we are going to go to Ian in Vancouver. Ian, hello, you're on the line, and do you have a question? If so, go ahead.
Good morning, Sue and Mark. How are you today?
Sue and Mark?
Who's the other girl?
Who's the other girl?
Mark and Sue.
Thank you.
A boy called Sue. We'll get Johnny Cash in here if we could.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, I'm calling from Vancouver, where we don't have many guns.
Yeah. Huh.
And in Canada, in the U.S., the gun rate death per 100,000 is 14.24. In Canada, it's 4.31.
You're so much calmer. So what I was saying earlier in the break is that people here just have a very short fuse. There's more tension in American life than there is in Canadian or European life. People are one tiny, tiny step away from arguing, exploding, getting physical. And if you get really angry and you don't feel that you're in control and you've got a gun to hand, you use it.
Well, that's what happens. Is it gives people the option of resorting to extreme violence instead of having to talk about something.
I was in Vancouver, Ian, and I tell you, you know, it's a beautiful city, and it feels a lot It felt a lot like America in a lot of ways, but it was lacking a certain fear element that I've grown to be fond of here in the States.
Well, I was at a party. I'm in Bellingham, Washington, visiting my partner this week, and we were at a party the other day, and my friend puts his arm around somebody, and they're packing.
Really?
And it's like, it's a party, and everybody's drinking. And
are you sure it was a gun, or they weren't just happy to see him?
Oh, no, it was in back.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's interesting.
It was in back. Uh-huh. And, like, and all this excitement about guns, Cheney giving that address at the NRA conference, mm-hmm. and, like, here they're all, like, enthralled with that. But then when that poor guy who lost a child in Columbine gets on the stage, they're all yelling, get off the stage and form our years.
That was, in fact, very bad manners, didn't you think?
Thanks, Ian. Connie in the Bronx. Connie, we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say about my dream. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I think...
Hold on one. Let me just remind the people who are just tuning in. I had a dream. I'm doing a dream diary now, and then we discussed a dream, and now Connie is called to help us out with that. What do you got, Connie?
Yeah, I think you had that dream with the penis thing, because so many prominent officials have the names that seem related to one's genitals, like Dick and Bush. And I think Bush represents a big patch of pubic hair.
Wow. I think that's a very, you know, very good interpretation of my dream.
I noticed that Dick Cheney was nowhere around in the dream.
Right.
So,
but he could have been working anywhere. So
yeah.
So you're saying that in a way that maybe my reactionary tendencies were to be to literally to save the world with my penis? Is that?
Yeah, because isn't Dick Cheney really the president?
Yes, he is. And
so you, in fact, are taking over because they're doing such a bad job.
So me and my 34-inch dream penis.
Right.
That's the name of my next Broadway show, Mark and the 34-inch dream penis.
Oh, I thought it was 34 feet.
No. 34 feet. That would. Thank you very much, Connie. That's
he's never been able to land. Let's
good
go next to Carlos, who's calling us from Brooklyn, New York. Carlos.
Yeah, hey, guys. Lady.
Hey, dude.
I was pretty outraged at watching that stuff on 60 Minutes last night. The idea of Cheney and Rumsfeld sitting with the Prince of Saudi Arabia making a deal for low gas prices just before the election.
It's like it's brain numbing, isn't it?
I have to feel like something is very, very wrong in this country, and I'm sure something illegal was done there. I mean, really, against the law of this country, how could they allocate all this money for a war without ever letting Congress in on it?
That's a good question. Is that an impeachable offense? Why hasn't anyone discussed
actually,
the legality
some people
of that?
Have discussed whether or not he ought to be impeached for that. But the bottom line is with the gas,
thanks
I mean,
the
have the Bush people come out and denied it yet? I figured they'd deny it.
Yeah, I don't. I the only way I can think that they can deny any of this stuff is that so many people were off the record. So they could all, you know, there's no real clear proof if someone's not willing to step up and take responsibility.
Well,
for
the thing is, the oil prices are all basically fixed anyway.
Well, we know
they're
that
all fixed by the oil cartel,
but,
and so the Saudi Arabians are, you know, have some of the largest oil reserves, and they can swing whatever they want to swing.
And the Bush family
are releasing oil. They can release more. They can say we haven't got quite so much this month, and then right when everybody's in their cars on summer holiday, they pay more. I mean, it's all manipulated.
But the Bushes are the bitches of the Saudis.
That'll be the title. That's the subtitle of
Flo. Riley's not going to sign off on that one. He's just going to give me the.
I'm going to let you hang out there with that one.
Okay, we have Mark from Massachusetts on the line. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I love all the topics you're talking about, but I originally called about about guns.
Yeah.
And I don't own a gun. I don't necessarily like guns, but I understand a lot of the gun owners' points of view,
mm-hmm.
and they really really believe, I mean, honestly, to the core of their being, that some of them in militias are like our own, like, grassroots National Guard. They right. really think they're doing a patriotic thing to protect the nation.
Really? Are they right?
Are they right?
Yeah.
You know, given what our government's kind of doing these days, I'm kind of like thinking maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I doubt it. I think they're just a bunch of wackos. But I understand where they're coming from. And if you look at the Second Amendment, maybe they have a point.
Well, that's interesting. So he's empathetic with
but the Second Amendment was drafted during a very different time in America's history. As
right.
a matter of fact, during America's infancy.
Yeah, it was before the internet.
But I think what he's saying is that these people feel that, you know, if they're pressed to the wall and they got nothing else, you know, they want to have the ability to shoot their way, you know.
Yeah, out
they
of whatever
They want to go out in
the
blaze of glory and feel like that they took a stand.
Okay, and then, but the thing is, they're all acting as if they're living in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Right.
Not, you know, they're living in some high-rise building, or they're living in a congested city, or they're living somewhere where they're you know, the chances of that happening, it's like being hit by lightning.
But it's sort of, there's a sort of a house-to-house cold war going on, is that there is, of all indications, there's a lot of guns out there, and a lot of them are in the wrong hands, you know, maybe all of them, but they're afraid, and the people that they're afraid of have guns, so they think if they can't have guns, that there's, you know, it's unfair.
It's like driving an SUV.
But who are they?
And bigger vehicles, and so you think you need to arm yourself more and more and more. It's an escalating, I have to
well,
take care
of
myself
a matter of
kind
numbers.
Of thing.
I just
it's a fear thing.
It's, well, yeah, but I mean,
but
and
it's an unrealistic fear thing.
I don't know if that's always true.
Mm, interesting. Let's go to Jade, who's calling us from Jersey City, New Jersey. Jade.
Good morning.
Hi, Jade.
Good morning. I just wanted to say, first and foremost, all of us out here really appreciate what you guys are doing on the air, and it's about time.
Thanks.
With that said, I would like to throw a shout-out to my boy, E-Truth, who has helped me take personal responsibility for a lot of the things that are going on. And I think that a lot of other Americans need to do that instead of always blaming or always saying, oh, well, it's okay, or he shot them because.
Right.
You don't just go shoot someone.
Right.
You don't just get up in the morning and say, I'm going to take another life.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Right.
So, you know, it's about love, it's about peace, it's about understanding each other, and that's when people need to realize that it's not about who won or who's harder.
So you're saying no guns, just love.
Not even necessarily that. Personally,
just no guns,
I've heard
no
this
love.
Before, by the way.
Personally, I love guns. I like guns a lot. I enjoy shooting pistols, you know, the whole bit. But I don't necessarily think that that's the answer. It's about love.
Do you own handguns? Do you own any handguns?
I don't, in fact.
Okay, just checking.
Thanks a lot, Jade.
All right. Let's go very quickly to Bob, who's calling us from Chicago.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. Good.
Good morning. I'm actually very Republican and leaning, but I'm going to vote for John Kerry this fall.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Basically because I think Bush is a maniac, and 4 more years would pretty much bring Armageddon much closer than I'd like to be.
And he's a bit of a moron, too, isn't he?
Kind of dumb.
He's being diplomatic there.
That's right. But my point about the gun and stuff is, here in America, I know you guys, you know, harp on, you know, England and everything else. Those are, you know, countries that are ruled by their federal...
Hey, you know what? I'm hurt by the idea that I harp on about England. I was born there.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, fair enough.
But they're run by their federal... Go ahead, finish.
That's right. And my point is that over here, at the federal level, we ban certain types of stuff, which everybody agrees on. Full automatic weapons, explosive, you know, devices, you know, silencers, that kind of thing.
Right.
Everything else is banned at a state level. I live here in Chicago. They ban all handgun ownership inside the city limits.
You know, my point is
that by hammering home about, you know, guns and anti-gun, you know, message or whatever, you risk alienating a lot of people over a non-issue. At the federal level, whether John Kerry is elected or whether George Bush is elected, it's not going to really make much of a difference.
Okay,
about
thanks
what
a lot.
All right, thank you very
thanks
much
lot,
for
Bob.
Calling. There's more to come here on Air America Radio. Our Dick Cheney and Colin Powell on speaking terms. Plus, will teens find jobs this summer? Maybe not if they get busted at spring break. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio. To be or not to be, that is the question.
Well, actually, for New York's Roundabout Theater Company, whether or not they're going to be is no question at all.
Over 800,000 people enjoy their productions every year. And in just the last 10 years, Roundabout has won 15 Tonys and 18 Drama Desk Awards. But the only prize they didn't have was a theater all their own. But that's now changed, thanks in part to a bond issue insured by American Capital Access. The funds raised have helped Roundabout buy Studio 54, the same space where they packed audiences with a 5-year run of Cabaret. The building is ideal for Roundabout staging of classic American musicals. And the bonds are pitch perfect for New York investors. They're fully insured by ACA, so they deliver a higher yield without higher risk. And for city residents, they're triple tax exempt. Around this time of year, that makes for savings even your accountant can get theatrical about. To learn more, ask your broker about ACA-insured bonds or visit us at ACA.com.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio, we'll have today's liberal agenda. Plus, presidential historian Douglas Brinkley gives us the story behind the right wing's attack on John Kerry's Purple Heart. But first, here are the news headlines at this hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Concern is still on the rise over the number of American soldiers lost this month in Iraq. The death toll now stands at 99. 10 more U.S. Marines succumbed to ambush attacks by Iraqi insurgents over the weekend. The concern over the mounting U.S. losses comes at a time when the U.S. Commander of Military Operations, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, is worried about the impact of Spain's decision to withdraw its troops.
I think as soon as you start to have forces or countries depart from the coalition, I think it'll be a big signal that gets sent, not just to the Iraqi people, but more importantly, to some of these insurgents to continue to operate in this country, and also to the international community that the coalition is not committed to accomplishing this task.
Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. In England, authorities have arrested 10 people on suspicion of terrorist offenses and searched properties in the Manchester area during a series of raids. The 10 were arrested on suspicion of being concerned in the commission, preparation, or instigation of acts of terrorism. This according to Manchester Police Today. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says the U.S. government is preparing itself for possible terrorism here before the November election. Rice says the government is taking its cue from Spain's recent history of violence that helped influence the last general election there. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says he would spare no expense or resource, for that matter, when it comes to fighting terrorism.
You need the best intelligence, best law enforcement cooperation in the world. Now, I've always said, once you know where they are, will you use the Delta Force or SEALs or Rangers or special forces of some kind? Absolutely. And I will not hesitate to use those forces effectively.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
North Korea's leader Kim Jong-il has trekked to China in preparation for talks later today that will include the current crisis over Pyongyang's nuclear weapons. The North Korea leader will be visiting Beijing for a period of 4 days. It's Kim's first visit to China since May of 2001 and the first summit with China's new leaders after they assumed office last year. Time magazine has published this list of the world's 100 most influential people, including President Bush, whom it called an unassuming man who has become become a radical gambler with his fate and with humanity's. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez has threatened to stop selling oil to the United States if Washington doesn't stop intervening, that is, in Venezuela's domestic affairs. The embattled leader didn't specify what interventions he was referring to. He has long accused the Bush administration of being behind a failed 2002 coup attempt against his country. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking.
And they don't have to be plastered to kill someone. Even one or two drinks can impair your judgment and change your life forever.
So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
As a child, she's kidnapped by another tribe. Later, she's won in a game by a traitor. She's just 14 when, in the brutal winter of 1804, she has a son. A son she'll carry some 7,000 miles on a journey no man has ever made, with Lewis, Clark, and the Corps of Discovery. This alone is enough to make Sacagawea a hero. But there's more. She pulls her weight. She shares her knowledge. She speaks her mind. Sacagawea is known for her role as a cultural translator, but she was much more, because as William Clark noted, a woman and a mother with a party of men is a symbol of peace. What can we learn from a 200-year-old story? Walk with Lewis and Clark at lewisandclark200.org and see what you discover. Because their trail winds through us all.
This is a public service message of the National Council of the Lewis and Clark Bicentennial, Missouri Historical Society, and the Ad Council.
Some mothers and daughters bond. Others are crazy glued. And now there's a new play about mothers and daughters that'll bring you to tears of laughter from door to door. The Daily News Raves, From Door to Door, is hilarious and deeply moving. It weaves the stories of three generations of Jewish women together with great artfulness. From Door to Door is a funny and heartfelt play that stirs up 65 years of family secrets and surprises. From the Cossacks to Ellis Island, from overmothering to single parenting. The Journal News calls From Door to Door a sweet play that glows with love and timeless values. It's beautifully performed, cheers the New York Post. And the Star Ledger applauds, it's like plunging into a bowl of your grandma's chicken noodle soup. See From Door to Door by James Sherman, directed by Joe Brancato, at the West Side Theater. Call telecharge.com, 212-239-6200. WOR's Joan Hamburg says, you'll enjoy it from door to door.
Good morning. I'm Mark Riley, along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Maron, here on Air America Radio. It's 7 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, presidential historian Douglas Brinkley joins us with the real story behind John Kerry's Purple Heart, plus today's top secret presidential daily briefing and the liberal agenda. But right now, I've got Sue Ellicott and Mark Maron with me.
How'd you like what he said?
Hello.
Hi. How'd you like when Woodward was talking about when he asked Bush about how history would look at his, you know, the war on Iraq? And he said, history? We won't know. We'll all be dead. What is that? Is he, like, I thought this was a Christian guy who's going to go to the, there's so many things wrong with that sentence. Who knows? We'll all be dead?
Bush says that?
He said that.
Okay, I thought you meant that Bob Woodward said that. It seems so implausible that a serious guy would say that. You mean George Bush said that to Bob Woodward?
In reference to him asking how history would look at his administration.
Yeah,
and
it's
the
nice
war
to care about the future and have some kind of perspective, isn't it?
But just the idea that, like, it all ends with me. I mean, I can't be concerned with, you know, what happens, how history's going to... I mean, what are you asking me, Bob?
It's like, you know, projecting out Social Security till 2030. You know.
And it's another example of his making light of something in a way that where he's really telling the truth. He did the same thing at the news conference
last week. I really don't
think
he was joking.
No, that's what I mean.
But
no, it's a kind of a quip. It's a kind of like me. It's a kind of, yeah, it's like a buddy-buddy. I can have a, it's a light moment. I think he's trying to have a light moment in the same way that when he was asked last week by the NBC guy at the press conference,
yeah,
what mistakes have you made? He went, oh, you know, I wish you'd asked me that question ahead of time. I'm sure something's going to pop into my head, like hardy, 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 ha, at the same. But while he's doing that, he's telling a deeper, dark, really scary truth, is that he can't think of an answer in the same way that he doesn't care. You're absolutely right. He just thinks, okay, who cares? I'm not bothered about how I'm going to be judged.
But
mystery.
It's such a non-Christian way of thinking for a guy claims to be getting directions from God. To think that, you know, that he will not be judged, or that, you know, it's not important to look ahead or think about how history might look at him, that he's that self-centered and that dim, you know, to just assume that it all ends with him is ridiculous.
It's politics, isn't it? God and politics, but yet the politics come first.
I wanted to reread the Presidential Daybook. Is that all right?
Sure.
Because I think it's funny. I think we got a lot of people that didn't hear it the first time. So this is the Presidential Daybook that we take off of WhiteHouse.gov. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Fancy pants intellectuals bad. 9 a.m. Have Michael Powell threaten CBS with fines over a 60 Minutes Woodward interview. Use angry voice. 10 a.m. Have Chief of Staff return Woodward book to Barnes & Noble. Exchange for novelization of 13 going on 30. 1 p.m. Travel to Hershey, Pennsylvania, in parentheses, swing state, extra energy. Give speech defending Patriot Act. Use phrase tough on terror. Avoid using phrase Hershey Highway. 1:15. Deny having used phrase Hershey Highway. 2 p.m. Visit Chocolate Waterfall. 3 p.m. Enjoy 3-hour sugar buzz. And 10 p.m. Have Condi remove chocolate smudges from Bill of Rights. Sleepy time. And that's the Presidential Daybook for today.
Chocolate.
What do you got there? What do you got there, Riley? You look like you got something.
Well, you know, the shockwaves around Bob Woodward's book, Plan of Attack, are being felt in and around the Beltway and across the country this morning. And one of the more explosive revelations is about the administration's allocation of funds, or should we say reallocation.
In July, the end of July 2002, they need $700 million, a large amount of money for all of these tasks, and the president approves it. But Congress doesn't know, and it is done. They get the money from a supplemental appropriation for the Afghan war, which Congress has approved.
Mm. Of course, there is also the assertion that Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the U.S. has pledged to drop oil prices just in time to influence the outcome of the November election.
Prince Bandar enjoys easy access to the Oval Office. His family and the Bush family are close. And Woodward told us that Bandar has promised the president that Saudi Arabia will lower oil prices in the months before the election to ensure the U.S. economy is strong on Election Day.
And you also say Bandar wanted Bush to know that the Saudis hope to fine-tune oil prices to prime the economy in 2004. What was key, Bandar understood, were the economic conditions before a presidential election. Oil prices are at an all-time high.
They're high, and they could go down very quickly. That's the Saudi pledge. Certainly over the summer, or as we get closer to the election, they could increase production several million barrels a day, and the price would drop significantly.
Could someone caffeinate those guys for us?
Well, I don't know about that, but of course, that comes from CBS News' 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is on Viacom, owned by Viacom.
Yeah.
And Viacom also owns the publisher of the publishing house that's doing Bob Woodward's book. We should say that as a point of information, because they did last night.
Yeah, right, but still a valid book. Still doesn't detract.
But we should say, so that no one jumps up and says, well, you know, you didn't reveal it.
It's the way business works. And the magical Prince Bandar will come down and change the oil prices magically. come in on this magic camel.
Can I just say, it's very interesting when people want to do baddies, they give them British voices.
What's that?
Interesting. Interesting.
You thought that was a British voice?
It certainly wasn't Saudi.
Bandar.
But doesn't anybody hear the words Iran-Contra? when you hear about the diversion of money. I mean, not nearly as much as Iran-Contra, but the fact that there was money that had been assigned by Congress for the reconstruction and sorting out Afghanistan, and that it was channeled into Iraqi operations.
Was
without
there drugs
Congress
involved
knowing,
with the Contra thing?
There were allegations that there were
some drug money,
some cocaine money.
I mean, I'm not
trying
to make a, you know, say every single thing is the same, but the fact is money that had been appropriated by Congress to for something specific that the administration does something absolutely the opposite or completely unrelated that just feel that is in line with their politics and their policy. Well, that means
that's why we couldn't find Bin Laden.
It's straight
they took that $700 million out of the search, I guess. Now, you know, one of the other things that Bob Woodward said to Mike Wallace last night was the assertion that George W. Bush really believes that his war with Iraq is doing the right thing. Let's hear that.
The president still believes with some conviction mm-hmm. that this was absolutely the right thing, but he has the duty to free people, to liberate people, and this was his moment.
Who gave George Bush the duty to free people around the world?
That's a really good question. The Constitution doesn't say that's part of the Commander-in-Chief's duties.
Neither does any other document, I think. It's
very careful answer, right?
The secret document that Bush has that he made with the secret document from the Almighty that he got.
But see, now, if you go back to 2000 and you listen to what George W. Bush said during the debate with Al Gore about nation building, you'd think it's exactly the opposite of this. Because at that time, he said, I'm not interested in nation building. I'm not interested in getting involved in other
countries. He was interested in destroying instead of rebuilding. He was interested in construction.
I love what Powell said, though. That what he said was, you break it, you own it.
Yeah, right? The Pottery Barn principle.
I never heard that before. I thought that was great.
It's probably some inside Washington militaristic.
But just the idea that that's the kind of language they use about a country.
Yeah.
Break it.
I mean, language.
Break it, you own it.
The reports are that they've been all screaming at one another for things.
So where did he get this? Where did George W. Bush get the idea that he was the person?
Well, we know the answer that Mike Wallace was fishing for.
Well, let's hear it.
He said of his father, he is the wrong father to appeal to for advice, the wrong father to go to appeal to in terms of strength.
I know how that feels.
And then he said, there's a higher father that I appeal to.
Wow.
So, you know what really struck me about this, though, is like everyone always assumed that he was finishing his father's business, as in his real father, and not the higher father, and that, you know, he was doing this for his dad. But it turns out, I think that George Bush really thinks that his dad is a wuss. And I think that not unlike that confrontation he had with his father in, you know, when he said, you want to go mano a mano, that he's literally saying to his dad, see what I did? You're nothing but a wuss. Look what I did. You want to screw with me, man? Come on. He's really rubbing his dad's face in the sand. Mm. See, I could have said dirt, but because it's a rock, it's the sand.
Yeah. Another Middle Eastern joke.
Uh-oh. It's a bit unfortunate, isn't it, when kind of families, generations in families, the guys, the rivalry in families sorted out by the Oedipal struggle becomes a sort of international politics war, leader of the so-called free world, just avenging his father's wimpiness or lack of love he felt, or it's too ridiculous.
If you're going to kick your dad's ass, you know,
do it thoroughly.
Well, no, you got to do it when they're younger. You know what I mean? Because that's when you start feeling that stuff. Like, you know, when you're like 15 or 12, I'm going to kick his ass, you know. And you got to do it. If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, you can't wait too long. Because when they're old men, you'll feel bad.
I never thought about doing it when I was 15, 16 years old.
Really? When did you feel like doing it?
When I was about 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I tried to kick my father when I was 7. He beat me into insensibility.
You did?
Literally. Yeah.
I was always afraid of my dad, and he was always really hostile, but I always used to think about doing it, but I never did it. And now he's too old to do it. Now it'd be sad and wrong for me to.
Yeah, it certainly would be. But before we leave Bob Woodward's book, Plan of Attack, we also ought to mention that in addition to the fact that U.S. officials really kind of slurred Hans Blix, our good friend who was with us just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the nice man selling the book.
Yeah. apparently the administration thought the guy was lying and was hiding evidence of weapons of mass destruction. But in January...
He says that in his book, actually. He says that he knows that they thought that he was lying and that they were giving Saddam Hussein too many months and they didn't have time to let him
know, yeah.
Give any more inspections.
Well, in January of last year, Woodward's book says that Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, Dick Cheney, vice president, and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Richard Myers were in Cheney's office with Prince Bandar, your good friend.
Prince Bandar and his magical
Saudi ambassador.
Sword.
And apparently, Myers showed Prince Bandar a map with top secret information about the war. Now, before the White House could deny this, Richard Myers said yesterday, last night on CNN's Late Edition, that although he has not read Woodward's book, the account of that meeting was basically correct.
Ah, so there you go. It proves it.
Bam.
The Bushes are Bandar's bitches. Still ahead, our top secret presidential daily briefing, plus the truth behind John Kerry's Purple Heart. Stay with us on Air America.
Breast cancer. Words that can provoke despair. But since 1993, a dedicated group founded by Evelyn Lauder has been working to make certain no one ever has to hear those words again. Hello, I'm Kate Burton. The Breast Cancer Research Foundation, now in its 10th anniversary year, is proud to have raised more than $70 million. This year, 87 cents of every dollar you donate to the foundation will go directly to breast cancer research and awareness programs. In the U.S. alone, nearly 40,000 women and men die from breast cancer each year. You can do something powerful. Your support will help us achieve prevention and cure. Let's give breast cancer the punch it deserves and knock it out for good. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or visit www.bcrfcure.org. That's 1-866-FIND-A-CURE or bcrfcure.org. Thank you.
You're driving home. Which route should you take? You're coming up to the exit. You have 10 seconds to decide. 9, 8, 7. Better tune into XM Satellite Radio with an entire channel devoted to 24-hour instant traffic and weather for your area so you can always get non-stop, in-depth traffic and weather. This year, you'll get over 120 digital channels of music, news, sports, and talk. Check out XM Satellite Radio at stores like Best Buy and Circuit City. Required monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
Bad breath is something none of us want. It may cause self-consciousness or embarrassment. Fortunately, there are remedies for it. If you're not cleaning your teeth properly, food particles stay in the mouth, attracting bacteria which cause bad breath. To lessen the effects of bad breath, practice good oral hygiene. Use dental products with the ADA seal of acceptance. Floss once a day and brush twice a day, paying special attention to the back of your tongue. Try keeping a journal of the foods you eat and make a list of any medication you're using. Some foods and medications may be a cause of bad breath. Avoid mints containing sugar. They only mask the odor temporarily and may cause tooth decay. Be aware that bad breath may be a sign of a more serious health problem. If you have any questions about your breath, ask your dentist. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. To find out more about your dental health, visit ADA online at ada.org.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
So what else is news?
Right here in 2004, there will be a ballistic missile defense system deployed. That's correct.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
Now, it seems from the media coverage that most of the focus on defense has been on Iraq and terrorism and al-Qaeda and not on what's going on in Star Wars.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
It's 23 past the hour. Time to reveal the top secret contents of the intelligence community's presidential daily briefing for Monday, April 42nd. With time travel. This is a time travel theme. I'm adding days to the calendar. This is different from the Presidential Day Planner because this is the PDB, the Presidential's Daily Briefing. Okay, this is a highly classified document that warns George W. Bush every morning of possible threats. Today's PDB is called Exact Time, Date, and Place of Al-Qaeda's Next Terrorist Attack. Mr. President, embedded sources indicate that Al-Qaeda is determined not to tell this administration of the exact time, date, and place of their next attack on the U.S. This is problematic. In preparing for the attack, Al-Qaeda has taken the rather unorthodox view that terrorism works best when some element of surprise is involved. Apparently, though, this is not confirmed. It makes it worse when we don't hear about it. But only when we do know the exact time, date, and place of the attack will we be able to determine the exact time, date, and place of the attack as it relates to the exact time and place and date of the attack. It is our expert opinion that we should probably wait until an attack does happen so then we can come up with a plausible story about not knowing about it. That's the president's PDB for today. That was very complicated, but I think what they're saying is they're going to surprise us.
I'd say so. And no word about the Secretary of State in that piece, huh?
Nothing about the Secretary of State. These are all he reads them.
Are they speaking, by the way? Are Bush and Powell speaking?
Of course.
I don't know.
Of course.
They didn't speak before the war.
Bush and Cheney didn't have much to do with one another.
Oh, it's Cheney and Powell who won.
No, Cheney and Powell are at war, but are Bush and Powell speaking?
Right now? I don't know. It's probably rough. It's probably rough. There's a lot of passive aggression going on right now.
They're all holding hands in a therapy session and coming together.
You cooperated with Bob Woodward, man.
So did Bush, though. So did he.
I know he did, but he thought he was the only one.
That's what makes it even so sillier, is that he's the only guy who went on record, yet he's surrounded by 75 people in his, you know, within his inner circles that are like making him look like the center of the
stupid ring. Let's go in this office over here. We'll talk.
It happens a lot here at Air America. There's a lot of pulling people into corners going, come here, let me talk.
Come here, let me talk to you for a minute.
But you know the game in Washington that everybody's like, oh, that's so-and-so, oh, that's so-and-so. They're all denying. No one is saying that they spoke to Bob Woodward, and it's just that it'll be the Washington parlor game for days and days to try and figure out which source is which person.
Jockeying for power.
Yes. Yep. Anyway.
It seems quite right. It's not even... You know, he's not even on record, but they're pretty sure it's him just of the way he talked. I mean, how, you know, you can't say you're a Secretary of State and Secretary of State so-and-so. We think it's Powell.
Could a source be. Close to senior diplomatic channel.
An unnamed Secretary of State of the current administration.
Of the current administration.
Okay, we've got a little handful of news stories today. One from the Chicago Tribune, which is kind of depressing. The White House is proposing to double the amount of federal money it's going to spend on abstinence-only education next year, up to $270 million.
They're going
to
start.
What
paying.
A waste.
What's wrong with this?
It just doesn't work.
What's the problem?
They're going to start paying for chastity belts in high school.
I don't understand. What's wrong with teaching abstinence?
It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
It just makes you
want. So what? Or do you
doesn't matter if it works.
It does matter. What a waste of
the
money.
Drug war doesn't work.
Why are we wasting $135 million extra dollars on abstinence? How about they kind of sit kids down and just, you know, be realistic and, you know, try and explain that they'll have better sex if they're having better communication?
So you're saying they should put money into sex instructors, perhaps? Like literally have people go to schools like a man and a woman.
No, but they should just
teach them how to do it properly.
They should stop being this kind of like titillating or off limits or overly humorous. It's just not normal here, is it? People just can't think that actually having great sex is about having a great relationship or good communication with somebody. It's all so mysterious and
if they actually had
there
people,
you go again.
Wouldn't it be
true.
Wouldn't it be horrible if like they had like it would be horrible to have like an actual sex instructor where all the guys get to have sex for the first time with a teacher they hired? And just so, like, what kind of education would that be? It's like, how many times would she have to say, that was a little quick. But, you know, as you get older.
But that would be the opposite. That would be utterly pointless.
But, I mean, America spends huge amounts of money on stuff.
Utterly pointless in one big significant way. That the point would be that why would you want to have sex with somebody with whom you have no interest in talking to afterwards?
What, are you kidding?
Your teacher?
Are you kidding? I mean, are you
really not kidding? Guys, I'm not serious.
You're really not serious.
You've never had sex with somebody you just wanted to, you know,
just
not talk to?
No way.
Oh, my God. You're like some sort of freak of nature. Sometimes that's the best thing. if you have an understanding, like it's sort of like, we're just going to do this and we're just going to go. That's like, it's like a gift. It's like a gift.
No, it's screwed up, guys.
No! It's funny.
And there are women like this.
No, sorry. Unless the woman agrees,
there are
it's
women,
screwed up.
There
no,
are
no,
women
the women
like
go ahead.
You
go ahead, find them.
You
asked me, and I said no, okay? Don't get on my case.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's incredibly meaningful. For you, you guys just get up and walk away.
Oh, you can
know?
Tell me you've never had unmeaningful sex just for sex to sake. Oh, come on.
Okay, listen to this. All right.
Go ahead. All right. Moving on.
Okay, now we're moving on. Okay, just when it's getting interesting, we're moving on.
No, I thought that we were told to move on by the higher father in my earphones.
The higher authority.
Okay,
the same one that Bush listens
to. Off you go, Riley.
Up next, the Salon.com story of the day, plus the liberal agenda, and you on... Oops, I almost said something I wasn't supposed to say. All here on Air America. But first, news headlines on the half hour.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Forget about Poland filling the gap by the loss of Spanish troops in Iraq. Poland says it cannot do that by itself. Poland commands a 23-nation international peacekeeping force of about 9,500 troops. It has 2,400 of its forces in Iraq. U.S. soldiers are barking about the incidents of what is now known as Baghdad boil. It's an ailment that leaves ugly sores for months on one's anatomy. A tiny sandfly is the source of the problem. In the words of one Marine, you ain't cool unless you got it. The sores are not painful or contagious. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says he spares no expense or resource, for that matter, when it comes to fighting terrorism. And sad news in the corporate world this morning, the chairman and CEO of McDonald's has died. 60-year-old Jim Catalupo suffered an apparent heart attack this morning in Orlando, Florida. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Welcome to the Hot House Cafe. What can I get you?
Hello, flower.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wildfire. You're looking incendiary today. What can I get you, sweet pea?
Let's see. I'm so hungry I could consume a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll start with the toasted wood-shaped shingle sandwich.
All righty. Super salad, baby doll.
And the backyard dried brush salad looks delicious. I'll have that.
Okie dokie, with or without supplements?
Without. You know I can't stand water-retaining plants.
Oh, that's right.
And for dessert, I like an old gazebo sundae, sprinkled with irreplaceable photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, baby?
Lawnmower gasoline. Unless you have some carelessly stored paint thinner.
I think we just might.
Goody.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sue Ellicott, here on Air America Radio. And today we have joining us in the studio... No, we don't. He's on the phone. I just thought there was a very invisible person on the chair next to me. He should have come in the studio. I guess he gets
every
that
time. It's all a little jostled in here because of the sex talk earlier.
Yeah, they threw me. They're on my case. They're being mean.
We're changing
it from meaningless
to recreational. Yeah, we've all had some of that in our past.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll back down and say, yeah, okay.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, joining us on the phone. I'm sure he had a panic listening to that. He thought he was supposed to be here, poor Douglas Brinkley. Douglas Brinkley, who's the author of Tour of Duty, John Kerry and the Vietnam War. A book, folks, in case you didn't get that. It is also the author of a piece on Salon.com today that you should check out. Salon.com.
Salon.com.
Shalom.com.
Shalom.com?
No, right. I was just joking. It was a pronunciation joke. Okay, where is he? Douglas Brinkley.
Morning, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, Doug?
How you doing?
Doing great, thanks for having me on, and congratulations on the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so how come John Kerry's commanding officer from his days in Vietnam is questioning how valid his first Purple Heart was?
Well, there's been a lot of anti-Kerry Vietnam murmurs percolating over the internet for the last really 6 months, and it seems to grow every day. And one of the points of contention is that somehow John Kerry didn't deserve his first Purple Heart. This gentleman, Lieutenant Commander Grant Hibbard, is on the record now talking to both the New York Post and the Boston Globe as seeing Kerry's first wound and thinking it nothing much more than a scratch. What I've objected to is, the fact that I've, writing my book, was able to see Kerry's medical record, where he had shrapnel in his arm and it was taken out, and B, the fact that Hibbard is a Republican who's coming out in an election year, 36 years later, harping about that Kerry's wound wasn't big enough, as if bleeding for your country, getting shot on a mission, having shrapnel in your arm wasn't enough. So I question a little bit more of these guys like Hibbard, who come out of the woodwork now in a political season and start criticizing a former Navy person for not having a big enough wound. I think it tells more about that person that raises it than the wounded veteran.
He's a stooge, that guy.
Yeah, it bothers me because it's, I think there's a lot of, you know, we all know it's going to be a tough political season, but to start, looking at, you know, John Kerry won 3 Purple Hearts. None of them were for serious injuries. But, you know, 6 inches more, I mean, any of the shrapnel and you're dead. I mean, 6 inches over, it's an eye you lose, or you get hit in the brain.
And they aren't for bravery, are they? Purple Hearts are just for injury. And Bush gave 10 out to members of the U.S. military in Fort Hood just a week or so ago.
No, exactly. And it doesn't have to be for a bullet wound or something. You can get one if a grenade goes off and you get a concussion, you get a Purple Heart. It could come from your own gun backfiring. It's about being in a combat situation and coming back with an injury. So it's not the sense of how big is the wound, and that determines how you get a Purple Heart. Hence, the U.S. Navy was correct to give Kerry a Purple Heart back in December 2nd, 1968, and that's the point of controversy. But there are these persisting, internet rumors that, you know, Kerry didn't deserve that Purple Heart. And the reason it's important is, see, if he didn't get 3 Purple Hearts, he wouldn't have been able to have left Vietnam.
But, Douglas, why with something like this doesn't John Kerry just come back and say, look, come on, guys, back off? I mean, the current commander-in-chief didn't even go to war. There are other, you know, senior members of the administration who, you know, put on, you know, full court attempts and succeeded in not going and fighting. I actually went. You know, who cares? Who cares about the significance of or how bad the injuries were? At least I went.
Because he's not capable of getting that excited.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You said it nicely. I mean, that is what he, I think, is saying. I saw that he was asked about this on the Tim Russert show yesterday and basically said something to the degree that you said, explain what it was like to have gotten wounded and explain that when he got that one, it was on a very dangerous mission, and you shouldn't be criticizing him for the fact that it was shrapnel in the arm instead of in the head. But you're right. I mean, also last week, I think he challenged Karl Rove and Dick Cheney some on this Chicken Hawks issue. So I think people are making a grave mistake when they decide they're going to score points on John Kerry by trying to dissect his Purple Hearts and say that his wounds weren't big enough. It's foolish. It's wrong. I think Kerry will come out ahead in all those arguments.
Is there some sort of historical precedent set by, you know, has this happened in other presidential campaigns that they make fun of a president's war record to score points?
That's a good question. And, you know, sometimes people question it. I mean, for Theodore Roosevelt's time in San Juan and Kettle Hill in the Spanish-American War, where sometimes question was he really a Rough Rider? He used to call himself Colonel Roosevelt, and were their exploits really that heroic? You see it some with John F. Kennedy and the PT-109 incident.
But those were guys with charisma. I mean, they're taking shots at a guy that hasn't really spoken up for himself as
Well, that's right, and it isn't so. The malicious attempt right now is out of. You know, there's a feeling that the one thing John Kerry really has going for him is the fact that he's a Vietnam War hero. And if you can tarnish that in people's minds somehow, you tarnish his candidacy. And so they're really, there's this attempt to go after all these little, issues like this and try to make something out of them. And I just resent it when the mainstream media starts taking them seriously. It's one thing.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just thought.
Okay.
Let me ask you, why do you think Hibbert didn't bring this up, or maybe he did, when Kerry first ran for the Senate in Massachusetts?
I don't know. Just a good question. You know, why do you wait this long? Why do you do something like this to try to politically embarrass somebody? There's almost a comical line in the Post that says Mr. Hibbert is a longtime registered Republican, but he's not sure who he's going to vote for this election.
I just don't get it, though. I just don't get why John Kerry can't come out and go, look, back off, case closed, this guy's a Republican, you know, going to leave me alone, and how much is it going to really matter anyway? Presumably, somebody, John Kerry, thinks that the war record thing really does matter for a candidate in this particular election year.
Well, it does matter, and you're right. He may be needing to say it more forcefully. I think he's trying to be gracious at a time when he maybe needs to just tell them just what you said. We'll see if this it might become a dead story here. I mean, I wrote this in Salon, and it was a last week's story, and it may not have any legs. But if it does, he's going to have to come out just the way that you say and really just backhand these people that are making these charges hard.
It's got legs today, man. We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it will some, I think, for this week. There are other ones coming. It's kind of in a concerted attack on Kerry's record in Vietnam. This Thursday, I believe, it's 33 years since he gave his famous Vietnam Veterans Against the War speech where he asks, you know, how do you ask a man to be the last man to die for a mistake? And that speech angers a lot of people on the right because Kerry's talking about war atrocities in Vietnam. And so you're going to hear a lot of noise about Kerry in Vietnam, I believe, this week.
God, do you think he could spin this into something, you know, that relates to soldiers coming back from Iraq and their treatment? You would think that he could, if he was creative or passionate about this subject, he could make some analogies now.
I think so.
One
would think. And on Wednesday, they're going to be in New Orleans, they being the Kerry campaign, at the Fairmont Hotel, and a bunch of his friends from Vietnam Veterans Against the War are going to come at his side to talk about these issues and connect it to the war in Iraq, just like he has those band of brothers, the guys who served in Vietnam with him. The leaders of the anti-war movement are going to gather around Kerry this Wednesday and try to be a united front, so we'll have to see what happens.
Douglas Brinkley from Salon.com. Read his column today online. Thank you very much for joining us. His latest book is Tour of Duty, John Kerry and the Vietnam War.
All right. We'll be right back with your thoughts about John Kerry's war record. We're taking your phone calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270.
Does that mean if John Kerry wants to back off, that people can't go after George Bush for his National Guard record?
I don't know. Is anybody still going after George W. Bush for his record?
Welcome to the Hot House Cafe. What can I get you?
Hello, Flo.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Wildfire. You're looking incendiary today. What can I get you, sweet pea?
Let's see. I'm so hungry I could consume a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
I think I'll start with the toasted woodshake shingle sandwich.
All righty. Super salad, baby doll.
And the backyard dry brush salad looks delicious. I'll have that.
Okie dokie, with or without succulents?
Without. You know I can't stand water-retaining plants.
Oh, that's right.
And for dessert, I like an old gazebo sundae, sprinkled with irreplaceable photos and family heirlooms.
Anything to drink, Father?
Lawnmower gasoline. Unless you have some carelessly stored paint thinner.
I think we just might.
Goody.
Knowing what Wildfire likes to eat is half the battle. Visit Firewise.org to find out how you can help make your home more defensible against wildfires. That's Firewise.org, a public service brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Aren't you tired of cynicism in politics? Aren't you fed up with people undermining our faith in the two-party system? Stand up and make your voice heard. Join us in protest against Bill Hilsman's damaging new book, Run the Other Way. This insider's view of our election process is not what our country needs right now. Bill Hilsman, campaign consultant to Paul Wellstone, Jesse Ventura, and Ralph Nader, is a major threat to our political establishment. His book, Run the Other Way, insists that consultants are out of touch, that polls are inaccurate, and that the true purpose of negative advertising is to intentionally keep people from voting. This kind of angry rhetoric is damaging to Republicans and Democrats alike. So, go to your local bookstore and purchase every available copy of Run the Other Way by Bill Hilsman. Then hide them, burn them, send them overseas, or mail copies to Republican or Democratic national headquarters. We cannot allow this dangerous book to remain on bookshelves everywhere. Thank you.
Run the Other Way, the new book by Bill Hilsman, now dangerously available at your local bookstore.
Remember the good old days when ice cream cones cost a nickel? When you could walk to the corner drugstore and the pharmacist actually knew your name? Well, we do. It was all the way back in 1927 when pharmacist Milford Harris invented Pink Salve, spelled P-I-N-X-A-V, to heal his children's diaper rash. And Pink Salve also works for all forms of skin irritations. For babies, active adults, and those in their golden years. Well, just like the horse and buggy, the independent pharmacy is slowly disappearing. But not Pink Salve. We aren't owned by a huge pharmaceutical corporate giant. We aren't going public. We are here for one simple reason: to help heal your baby from the misery of diaper rash. If Pink Salve is not available at your local drugstore, you can buy it online at www.pinksalve.com or just call us toll-free at 888-4-PINK-SALVE. We are very proud of Pink Salve and grateful for the opportunity to offer you and your family this outstanding product.
The O'Franken Factor.
Senator John Kerry on the line.
Hey, Al, how are you?
I'm doing very well, sir.
It's good to be on your show now that you've been on the air over a week, because I like being part of a long tradition, Al.
Air America's Al Franken.
How do you respond to charges that you're more trustworthy than President Bush?
I respond affirmatively.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Riley with Mark Maron and Sue Ellicott here on Air America Radio. Our phone number, 866-303-AARO, 866-303-2270. Let us go first to Chris from Connecticut.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm calling you from my Toyota Prius hybrid electric car.
Oh, good for you, man. How's that running? Do you have to recharge those things?
When it's warmer.
Do you have to recharge them?
No, they recharge themselves. You just have to drive them right.
And does it go fast?
It can.
Think Donald Rumsfeld would drive one?
Well, I used to drive a much faster car, and I got in trouble a lot. And that was one of the incentives for getting a car that got a little more trouble going fast.
So it wasn't an environmental issue. It was just that you weren't able to discipline yourself properly.
That's something like that. I kept thinking about putting some kind of brick under the gas pedal.
So what's on your mind, man?
Well, first of all, I can only catch you for like 5 minutes at a time when I'm on my way to work.
Yeah.
And I'm on my way to work, and I caught when you said that, when Mark said that Kerry should be more creative and draw more parallels to Vietnam. He's been asked about it a couple of times, and what I've heard him say is that it's not Vietnam yet.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, in my mind, I think that, you know, he should be able to at least draw some sort of comparisons to how the troops are being treated when they come back to, you know, the reason why they are there. You know, I just wish that he would step up and you know, show some nads. You know, yeah. That's what I wish about something. So, you know, we all want Bush out, but it'd be nice if the guy, you know, really kicked some vision, you know?
Kennedy at one of Kerry's rallies called Iraq.
Yeah.
Bush's Vietnam.
Yeah, no, Kennedy was...
Yeah,
he was all full of fire that time. It was very surprising to see him, you know, awaken from his haze to be that passionate about something. And I thought, well, wow, I wish that some of that, you know, that Kerry should get a sort of passion contact high and, like, get some, you know, fire going.
Well, see, that's Kerry's dilemma right now.
Yeah.
If he only gets the votes of people who want Bush out, he loses, I think. I think he has to get people to see his vision, and then he'll get the kind of turnout necessary to win. But before we go to another phone call, Homeland Secretary Tom Ridge is expected to call today for an acceleration of plans to prepare for a terrorist attack because of several high-profile events that could give terrorists a chance to strike. He's going to be addressing the opening session of the what's called the RTNDA, Radio and Television News Directors Association, their convention in Las Vegas. That'll be at 1 o'clock Eastern time. And a spokesman says that Tom Ridge is nervous about the following events. One, the dedication of the World War II Memorial on the Washington Mall, which is scheduled to take place May 29th. The Group of Eight Economic Summit in Georgia, June 8th through 10th.
Really? He's worried about that? What a genius.
Yeah. But he's worried about Independence Day.
Wow, really? That was a tough call, too.
The DNC, the Democratic National Convention in Boston.
No.
The Republican National Convention, which, of course, is taking place right here in New York City. And Labor Day weekend, which is September 4th through 6th.
They're not going to ruin a three-day weekend, are they?
The
heartless bastards.
You know what, Tom Ridge? Thanks for sharing, because we really can't think for ourselves.
Carl, in Ohio, I think we're going to see if Carl's got something to say. Does he, Chris? Does Carl in Ohio? Hey, Carl, what's on your mind, man?
Well, let's see. I usually catch you on, like, Colin Quinn or thereabouts.
Yeah, I'll be on the 26th of this month. It's nice to talk to you, man.
Oh, cool. Basically, my point was, like, as regards the attacks on war records, that it really, it's political gamesmanship of the most evil kind. I mean, we have to remember what they did, and we're talking about the exact same people, to Max Cleland. Not only was he decorated, but lost three limbs.
Yeah, I know. What was that about? They were saying that he didn't lose them the right way.
Oh, he didn't lose them the right way. Well, evidently...
How do you do that? How do you say that?
He detached them himself.
as a means to get out of the war.
That's right.
So, no, they are definitely heartless.
And
a lot of people don't realize, you know, what defines a Purple Heart and what it's really for. It's any injury, in you know, that occurs in war. There's only a few things that aren't on there. I've got it right here. The examples of injuries or wounds which clearly do not qualify for award of the Purple Heart are frostbite, heat stroke, food poisoning, not caused by enemy agents. So if the bacteria is put in the food or the bacteria has a terrorist agenda in and of itself, then you can get a Purple Heart for that. Chemical, biological, nuclear agents not released by the enemy, battle fatigue, disease not directly caused by enemy agents, and accidents to include explosive aircraft, vehicular, blah, 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 to, not caused by enemy action. So anything that happens other than that, you know, is fair game to get this award for getting hurt.
Mm.
Male passion boldness. No.
But yeah, I think you can get a Purple Heart if it happens, you know, because of an enemy assault.
Stress.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Ted in New Jersey. Ted, you're on the line with us.
How are you guys?
What's on your mind?
Love your show on station. Here's a major problem. I see. You said it before. Kerry is in a long line of gutless Democrats since Reagan.
I don't know if he's gutless.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
So wait, you wind them up to get the speech. When the Florida election was being contested, the Republicans rolled out James Baker. Democrats rolled out Warren Christopher. Jiminy Cricket versus the Hulk.
Right.
The Democrats are always, they should go after Bush. They need more Teddy Kennedys on a daily basis to scream and yell at those creeps and talk about his military, which Michael Moore let out of the box, talk about his military, talk about if this guy, this administration has done so much. They should be in jail for what they've done so far.
Absolutely, I think
you're right. Why are they not? And of course, the Democratic National Committee Leadership Council blew 2002, so the Democrats can't investigate. They don't control the House.
Right.
That's their wimpy, gutless leadership. That's why Howard Dean roused the populace, and that's why Kerry is putting you to sleep. Someone has got to speak out on his behalf. He needs a bunch of hitmen, like Chris Dodd and others, who are brain dead. They say nothing, to come out every day and say something about those creeps in Washington and blow them up and let them scream and yell, which they do because they're bullies and they whine. Beat them to hell to death and get them out of there.
I agree with you.
I think
I think you've said exactly what a lot of people are feeling right now.
Ted, did I talk to you over the weekend or something? Because I heard the same thing from somebody else.
Yeah, I think it's everybody's sort of feeling that. Is that, you know, all right, Kerry, like step up,
unload.
Man.
Yeah, he needs James Carville. That's what he needs.
You're right. Maybe he does. Well, how come
Carville's busy writing? He's promoting a children's book right
children's
now.
Children's book,
I bet
yes.
you he'll
why doesn't he get involved in politics
again? He's too busy being a...
he's a consultant.
He's a multinational company.
Yeah. Sellout.
A conglomerate. Let's go next to Bob, who's calling us from Skokie, Illinois.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
First of all, we really missed you a couple of days last week because you weren't on. I was going crazy. I tried Rush for 5 minutes, and I wanted to throw myself into a speeding truck.
We missed you.
It's so funny when liberals listen to Rush just to get angry.
Oh,
you know, it's like, you know, it's like I'm feeling okay right now. I want an anger buzz.
Well, I'm in total agreement with what your last couple of callers have said, but I'm in disagreement with something that you guys said about 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
And that is, this is the week when we're going to look at John Kerry and his war record. Gentlemen and Sue, this is the week when Teddy Kennedy, Bob Byrd, and I don't know who the appropriate people are in the House, have to get up and question whether this president should be impeached. Because if I heard what everyone else heard...
The $700 million?
60 Minutes, yes. How can you divert $700 million from Afghanistan to Iraq and get away with it?
Yeah,
If there is any validity to that at all... And I know they'll never get a congressional hearing because Republicans will shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
But as the last gentleman just said, the Democrats have to get up and scream. There has to be a rally perhaps in Washington. The whole country has to be awakened out of its stupor.
Yeah.
Over what these people have been doing and what they've been getting away with out of their sheer arrogance.
It's not on the front pages. It's not the big splash story. It's not. There doesn't seem to be a sense of outrage in the media. I mean, I just flew in from London, so maybe I missed it. But anyway, let's go to Marco.
That's a good question. Why isn't it? People should be up in arms about that. They should impeach this guy. It's not, you know, this isn't like an intern. This is like real deal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
$700 million.
Marco, we have you on the line from Chicago.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
With a question, we hope.
Yeah, actually, no, I don't have a question. I'm sorry, but I have a comment about Kerry's performance yesterday amid the press.
Mm.
I think it was dismal.
Yeah.
The guy really angered me when, first in two occasions, when first when he said that he just commented that Israel, of course, has the right to defend itself, but without saying any word about it, what Israel is doing to the Palestinians. And, of course, he's appealing to the lobby that otherwise would not make him electable.
Right.
Second, when we basically recalled...
That would be the Jew lobby, right?
Yeah, well, the Jewish lobby. Oh. I hope I'm not going to be called anti-Jewish just because of that.
No. Anyway. That would be me, the anti-Semitic Semite. Go ahead.
And the second, when basically we recalled his statement back in 1971, when he said that indeed he, like many other soldiers, did commit atrocities in Vietnam. Not because our soldiers are bad people, but just because war is an atrocity and you're put in a situation where you do things that normally you wouldn't do.
I think you're right. I think he needs to define some of his policy and some of his, you know, focus and just, you know, what is it that he feels about all these, you know, very important international events. Jared, what do you got? Quickly, Jared in Chicago, what do you got?
I was listening to your show and I'm just talking about it since it's a little bit behind an hour or whatever. I just want to say that if you don't understand why people are not outraged, I went home to see my parents recently. My father is a fairly liberal and Democratic-leaning guy. You know, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, there are a lot of people out there who come to the justification of Saddam was an evil guy, and everything after that doesn't seem to matter to them.
That's very much like the Bush administration, that the ends justify the means.
Wow. Most people believe that?
Through repetition, this guy's, even if they don't think that he's connected with terrorism, through the repetition of him being evil, it's like they did it with Muammar Gaddafi years ago, that you keep repeating it and showing his mustache and him with a gun and, you know, him in a uniform, eventually people just say, well, that's the villain. That's
beyond that, it's all about we are protecting American security. We are protecting you. It's been twisted that this war in Iraq is about the security of the American people. And then the B reason is that it happened to them. Oh, Barbara, I'm so sorry.
It's a fact coming in from Barbara Streisand's compound. It's the liberal agenda. This is, you know, the run rundown of the important liberal causes. So get your pens out, because here it is. Liberal soldiers, write these down. All right, first on today's liberal agenda, cut defense spending, fund more happenings. Teach public school children to perform self-abortions on demand. Propose health and retirement benefits for Al-Qaeda. Make fun of God. Replace Senate Pledge of Allegiance with the bird's dolphin smile. Good reference, Barbara. Very good. Teach masturbation to fetuses, then abort them. Wow. These are heavy. Make fun of God again. Okay. Replace national defense with Jungian dream therapy. All right. Well, there you go. It's a little abstract. Today's liberal agenda.
Hey,
you know?
It was lighter to talk about national security, I think.
Huh?
It was happy when we were thinking about security.
Yeah, yeah.
War seems like a positive, happy topic compared with the liberal agenda.
Yeah, yeah. There's some pretty gritty things on this liberal agenda.
A couple of abortion references and things. Yeah. But, you know, as we leave
well,
this
it's not
morning,
our fault, it's Barbara's.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
you know.
John Kerry's got a problem. At least if we listen
God,
to our
he needs
phone
to light it up, man. He needs
yeah,
to
he
light
does.
It up.
It's very hard, though, because if you have anybody who comes from a sort of patrician, elitist, sort of uptight background, you basically look back at Clinton and think there was the kind of like raw, gutsy, down-home, working-class boy.
Join us tomorrow on Air America, and we'll find out just how the president is trying to sell the Patriot Act. That's tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America.
I'll try to make it.
Yeah, close down your email now.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel from Unfiltered on Air America Radio, where we promise you news and opinions you will not hear anywhere else, including on the rest of the network. It's unfiltered at airamericaradio.com. That's our email address. We always love to hear from you. I'll be back in just a second with Chuck D. and Liz Winstead right after news from Air America Radio.